If you think of all the things that you and I can do in our marriages to, you know, to make our marriage strong, what's the first thing that comes to mind? What one thing could you do over the next 30 days that would strengthen your relationship, strengthen your marriage, create less stress in your marriage, and help you move forward? Hey, Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living, and that's what we're going to talk about today on the program from our Intentional Living archives. The calls are set for the program, but listen, we want you to participate live by leaving your comments on our comment line today. And the way you can do that is call 888-888-1717. And the question I'm asking is, what one thing, what one love habit could you do in your marriage that would strengthen your relationship? You know, if you're new to intentional living, what we've seen over the years is people's lives being radically changed, radically improved, marriages saved, homes strengthened as a result of people choosing to live an intentional life in Christ. It's not about perfection. It's simply about understanding that every day, if I do one thing to make sure I'm building into, in this case, my marriage, to make my marriage work better, you're going to turn out a lot better down the road for sure. So give us a call on our comment line, 888-888-1717. As we go to the calls, Mary left a comment from California on this very topic. Take a listen.
This is Mary in California. And I just want to give some things that I learned, and I really believe it was the Holy Spirit, that when I am not treating my husband with respect, I am not respecting God. When I'm not putting him first, I realize that I'm really not putting God first. And so I keep that in mind, and it really helps me through the day to treat him with respect and listen to what he has to say, because it's so easy for us to want to be right and want our way. And that's the one thing I've learned. And selfishness is a real hard thing to get rid of, but that's what I've been working on intentionally.
Mm. Hey, listen, and when you do that, it will change your marriage. One of the things I love about the research that John Gottman has done on marriage is it's based on actually observing thousands of couples, videotaping many of them, analyzing how they interact, because how we interact determines the success of the marriage. And one of the things he says is that successful marriages have learned how to soften their startups. In other words, arguments often start up because one partner, there's an escalation that begins. There's a conflict, there's something that's said, and then the other person raises it a little bit and says something even a little more critical or something that's really destructive in the marriage, and it goes to another level. When we learn to bring up problems gently in a marriage without blame or without pointing a finger, because remember, we judge ourselves by our intentions. And maybe your intention is okay. You're thinking, well, I just want to get this problem fixed. Your intention might be good, but your spouse will judge you by their expectations. And if the expectation is, if you love me, you wouldn't speak to me that way. There's where we escalate. And so when Gottman says, soften your startup, one of the things that can make your marriage, if you want to make it a habit, make your marriage work better, is be careful how you start discussions that could lead to, you know, more difficult kinds of discussions. Be kind, all right? Just a thought. I'll tell you, make a difference. Not only in marriage, by the way, it happens with your kids, teenagers, work, employees, coworkers. These principles are the same. All right, let's get to Janine is on the line in Michigan. Janine, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. What's your comment today?
It related to your point number 7 that talked about kindness, and I just felt very understood and heard by my husband in a conversation that we had yesterday. Mm. And it was a conversation where I kind of started with, I know this is a little thing and it doesn't matter to you. And he stopped me and said, if it matters to you, it matters to me. Wow. And it just touched my heart. And so I just loved that and felt that I should share that. But I was also hearing you just talk about the importance of startups.
Yes.
And another thing that we have done through the years is when we're going to have a conversation that you don't necessarily know where that's going to lead, we always try to start with I love you and pray together so that we set a tone that lets each of us know that we have the good of our marriage at the heart of that conversation.
Very important.
So it just seemed to tie really closely to that.
Did you share how many years you've been married?
15.
15 years.
not enough.
Well, listen, you keep doing what you're doing. You guys do that. You got many more years ahead. If God tarries and your health, you know, you can live through the years ahead. But that's how 50-year marriages last. Learning to do the next right one thing and being intentional with the habits that we have in the relationship. Powerful.
Thank you.
All right.
And thank you for all you do.
Glad to do it. Thank you for your call, Janine.
Have a good day. Bye-bye. All right.
That's how you go from 15 to 25 years and beyond. Listen, I've got the top 10 list on love and respect. We've got more from Dr. John Gottman. We're going to get to all of these here in just a few moments, along with some other calls. Doug's on the line. We'll find out what his one thing is in Arizona coming up in a minute. Here's another thing over the next 30 days you might want to consider is meditation. Maybe you've never meditated. Now, I'm thinking of meditation in terms of having a scriptural passage that you've read and you just, in quietness, away from family, away from radio and television and other distractions, you just meditate on that scripture. Or you meditate on a truth that you've heard. Maybe in your last service at church on Sunday, maybe your pastor said something that kind of really got stuck inside of your mind or your heart. To just meditate on that and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal Himself to you. You know, the scripture says in Ephesians 5:18 that we should be filled with the Spirit. It's a daily decision to allow the Spirit of God to fill our life, and times of meditation draw you closer to Him. Amen to that. You know, I was thinking about that, everything we've been going through as a family with our son in the hospital and recovering slowly, but so many passages, being reminded where the scripture says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, knowing that God is always there, present all the time. The question is, what kind of memory have you used to grow your spiritual knowledge and to reserve that word of God in your heart and your mind so you can recall it? That's one of the things we can do to really experience that kind of freedom that God intends for us in our faith, growing in our faith. The entire lesson, by the way, you heard a clip from, is up on our website in our member section. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com, and if you're a member, just put in the little code, the password, and it'll give you access to that, and you can listen to it and share it with others, and I hope it'll be a good experience of growth in your personal walk with Christ. And for those of you who just recently joined us, thank you for your support. You should have received that password already, along with our thank you, and if you didn't, please let us know so we can get that to you, okay? And again, you can find out more about supporting the ministry and standing with us at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com, or call 888-1717. Just before we get back to the program, I know many of you, maybe for the very first time, you're hearing this podcast or listening to the radio program, and you're wondering, what is this intentional living? You know what it means to have intent. You have an aim, a direction, but intentional living is taking that aim, taking that direction, and as a Christian, living intentionally in Christ, and then daily, every day, and we bring it down to one thing every day that will draw you closer to Christ. We tell people, today matters, and as we live today, it'll strengthen the tomorrows of our life. And that's really our desire for you. So thank you for your support. Find out more at theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
Talking marriage, one thing for marriage today. Doug is in Arizona. Doug, what's your one thing, my friend?
You know, every morning me and my wife, we do what they call daily devotional reading. Mm. And we kind of quiz each other and tease each other on it every day. And I'm pretty sure that she relies on, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, especially when she's married to me and dealing with me every day. And it's like, you know, we've been together for 29 years, and I hear people saying, oh, it's tough, it's this and that, and it's like, I really don't see the fighting and the battle when it comes to me and my wife. And it's like, you know, the best secret is don't get to know her right away. She doesn't know me right away, and we're always evolving and changing for the better, if you will.
So when you have a problem, when you have a disagreement, Doug, how do you guys work it out?
You know, we rely on common sense. It's not I win, she wins, although we do teach each other that way. But usually it's common sense is what wins. And that's the way it is. You know, you pray about it and you look at it and you think about it, and it's what's commonsensible, and that's what wins.
Now, I heard you say twice with teasing each other. Is that sort of a part of your relationship? You kind of keep it light so you don't get too deep?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, you know, laughter is good for the soul, you know. And I promised in my wedding vows to keep her laughing at least 3 times a week. And I have not yet failed.
Interesting. Well, you know, it says in the scripture that laughter doeth good like a medicine, and I agree with you totally. Life is serious. We got, you know, there's health issues and kids and finance, and it's very easy to slip into the business side of relationships, all the stuff you got to manage and organize. And if we don't rise above it and keep some laughter, freshness, spontaneity in a marriage, after a while it can become routine, and routine can kill a relationship.
Right. Yeah. Try to spice it up if you can, you know?
Yeah, that's important. Now are you kind of the one that is the spontaneous one in the marriage, or is she as well?
I'm the spontaneous one in the marriage. I'm the one that's always looking for the little devious ways of keeping laughter coming around. But she does it in a quiet way. You know, she's the one that does it. You don't find out till way later that you've been hit. Yeah. So that's kind of good. Like today.
Yeah.
I was using the car, and I was coming down. I was coming down Almasco and Main Street, and I ran out of gas. Just a few, maybe 60 or 70 yards away from Circle K. It wasn't much, but it was a dangerous little intersection, you know. But what was good about it is that everybody was cool, calm, and collective, and, you know, and I pushed the car into the Circle K and got gas, you know. When I came home, we kind of giggled about it, and she said, I'm so sorry, you know. But it's no great big deal, you know. I mean, well, you know, that's how life is, you know. You got to just accept it, you know.
You're my guy, Doug. Listen, there are people who say, run out of gas 60 yards from Circle K and ruin my whole day.
Yeah.
You let it go.
Ragger about it, you know, we laugh about it, and then just let it go, you know. That's what you got to do, just let it go.
Well, you also got to keep gas in the car, though, Doug.
Yeah, I do, but she doesn't.
Oh, that was the real story, huh?
Yeah.
She didn't have gas in the car.
Yeah.
All right. Well, see, listen, now there have been some guys that have gone home and really gotten on her case for that. And you can do that in a way of just sharing, have a little fun and keep it light and make sure she's got money in the pocket so she can get gas in the car. So, or you have to fill it for her, right? You should be filling it.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give her the receipt. Reimbursement is the next battle.
Yeah. Okay, my friend. Thanks for your call, Doug.
All right. God bless you.
Right. Yeah, he is. And you made my day. Hey, listen, we're more like Doug and his wife. I think we'd be better off. Come on, guys. We get so serious, and it can become so overwhelming in our relationships. It can drag us down. I wrote some things about thinking about some of the truths about the power of attitude in marriage. And I said, a good attitude will help your marriage succeed. Many times marriages fail not because of a lack of love, but because spouses don't have a good attitude. We wear each other down with negativity. Why didn't you put gas in the car? I mean, come on, you know, those kinds of things. And if they continue in a relationship, can wear us down. Your attitude has a huge impact on your life. Unsuccessful people seem to find something wrong even in good times, while successful people strive for an attitude of gratitude even in the bad times. Find something good, speak encouragement into your life. Discouraged people discourage other people, and they discourage marriage. They really do. Okay, we'll come back. I got some more thoughts here from Dr. Gottman, his 7 things to improve your marriage. I'll get to another one or two here in a moment. But let's go to Pauline in Arizona. Pauline, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate your call. What's your comment today?
Oh, my comment is about, let's say, in my marriage, there's a lot of, like, in the marriage, there's a lot of things which you can, so there's some things which you can just let it go. But,
yeah.
You know, like, mind the way I can really want to change. Sorry for my English. I'm from the Congo, so.
Well, I'm glad you called. You're doing fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Like in my marriage, the thing I can change, I can really, really working hard on changing is like when we're passing through troubles, instead of talking about it, my partner doesn't talk about it. It'll be just quiet until, you know, we'll figure it out. And after that, it's gone. But aside of mine, you'd be like, I'm kind of mad. I can stay a week, 2 weeks. We're not talking to each other. So sometimes it hurts me. Sometimes I'm like, okay, that's how it is. Let's just let it be. We've been married for 10 years and it's been going on just like that. So
let me see if I understand, yeah. Pauline. There might be something that's bugging you, that's troubling you, that you want to talk about.
Yeah.
And he doesn't talk about it, kind of buries it.
Yes.
And he moves on, but you still linger with being upset. Are you upset that he's not talking to you about it, or are you upset that the problem didn't get fixed, or both?
Both.
Yeah. So this not only the problem doesn't get fixed, but we didn't even talk about the problem.
That's the thing.
Yeah. And why do you think he doesn't want to talk about it?
I don't know. He's just a person. He's kind of himself. He doesn't like talking, anything like that. But when you guys are growing up together, you should know each other. Okay, this one likes this. This one, she doesn't like this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should change the way we're living, or maybe we should stop this and change it and start a new thing. But if that your partner doesn't want to talk about it, doesn't want to give you ideas, no, let's do this, let's do that. In terms of you just keeping quiet, you're building something in your heart which is one day is going to explode, you see?
Yeah, these are important things to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you talked to him about that and shared that these are important things that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, I'm the only person who talks too much in the house, so.
Yeah, so he thinks you talk too much?
Yeah, he thinks I talk too much, so that's the thing.
Yeah, well, you're the type of person then, Pauline, that you want to talk about things, you want to discuss things. I'm wondering in his mind, because he sounds like maybe he's quieter, if he's concerned if he starts talking about things, they'll never end.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the best the thing I can wish, like, God to help me. That's the thing I've been praying all the time, God to help me, like, figure out or jump into another step for person to change.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because...
Can I give you a suggestion?
Mm-hmm.
Just a suggestion. this is not uncommon. You get two people in a relationship and marriage, and one is, you know, let's talk, let's resolve, let's get to the bottom of it, you know, and really that's important. The other person, they're more thinking, more philosophical, processing things differently, and they feel overwhelmed in those kinds of settings. A compromise might be to say, you know, honey, I love you, but there are times we need to talk about some things. We've got some issues that are important, and I know that I can be overwhelming, and I know I can bring a lot of things to the table. I can bring 10 things to an agenda, to a discussion. Could we have one thing, just one topic, and could we spend maybe 3 nights a week just for a half hour, and we'll schedule it like 7 to 7:30, or right after the kids go to bed, just for that period of time. We won't start before, we won't go later, just for those 30 minutes, and here's just one topic. And you put it on the refrigerator, and you kind of say, hey, tonight we just want to talk about, should we be staying in this house? I think you brought up something about living or moving or whatever. What would be the pros and cons of us staying here or moving? let's just talk about it for a half hour. Just pray about it. And at the end of, you know, we start at 7, by 7:30, we'll wrap it up. Then I would encourage you, Pauline, when you get there, not to dominate the discussion, just to throw out the question. Have a question that you want to discuss and just listen. You might have to sit there quietly for a while. Maybe nothing's being said. There's power in silence. You know, you throw out the question, mention it, talk a little bit, and just see what happens. Does that sound like something that you could try with your husband?
I would try it. I've been trying all these days. I've been really trying really hard.
All right. Well, if you put it into a time schedule, maybe that'll be helpful. All right. We'll be praying for you, Pauline. I'm glad you're listening, and you came through loud and clear. We're talking about marriage today. Got a few more thoughts for you before we wrap up the show here in just a couple minutes.
Are you experiencing real freedom in your faith or simply going through the motions? In Dr. Randy's message called Process for Faith, you'll learn how to move beyond routine faith and intentionally develop a deeper, more personal relationship with God.
Everything that we've said, everything that I've tried to share with you in this lesson about growing in freedom in your relationship with Christ comes down to one thing. And that one thing is to be present with God every day.
Support Intentional Living with a monthly gift today, and you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message and get unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. Don't miss out on this special opportunity. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Thank you, Kurt. And a reminder, your support for the ministry goes directly into helping us reach more people here in this community, on our network of radio stations, and on our podcast all around the world, on the publications that we create with the mission to help people experience God's intention for their life today. And we call people to a salvation message, a gospel message today. We call people to decide what one thing today will bring glory to God and benefit to their family, to their community, and further the kingdom today. Because, you know, we have no guarantee about what tomorrow will look like and what challenges we're going to be facing tomorrow, but we have today. And that's why Intentional Living focuses so heavily and intentionally, I might add, on today. If you'd like to know more about this ministry of intentional living, we're part of Intentional Life Media. Just come on over to our website at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and you can click on the donate icon to join us, or you can just search the site. There's a lot of helpful information, insight, encouragement, content that you can gain, as well as we have a section on our website just for our monthly members, our membership, those who are supporting the ministry, where we put a monthly teaching. And this month, it's again on the topic of your faith, building your faith, and the power of faith and the freedom we have in our relationship with Christ. So again, go to theintentionallife.com, or you can talk to one of our staff at 888-888-1717. Comments come in. Chuck had a comment I think fits today's program. Take a listen.
Hi. Yes, I'm a man of experience now because I'm turning 80. But going back years ago when my wife was on this earth, we knew that we had to compromise. So once we worked that out and we're doing our share or a little more and not arguing about what the other person was maybe falling short at, our marriage improved, and we went to church every Sunday, got on our knees together every night, and we prayed together.
Thank you, Chuck. We're going to hear from Brenda. Right after Brenda, I'm going to share with you a couple more of the points from John Gottman on the top 7 ways to improve your marriage based on just years of research. These are very practical. Get to those in just a moment. But first, let's go to Brenda with a comment she left from Tennessee.
My intentional living is to exhort my husband and to tell him how much I love him and how much I thank him for working and taking care of us. I exhort him daily, and even when I don't feel like it, not only exhort my husband, but to show him physically, with physical touch, that I love him and that I'm not afraid to be seen with him, by running my hands through his hair, touching him on the cheek at church. Just that touch. There's so much in that touch. That's what every person desires, is to just feel loved and to know they're loved. And so that's just part of my intentional living, is that physical touch for my husband.
Mm. Thank you. That's powerful. I mentioned John Gottman. By the way, he's written many books, and he's a go-to kind of a guy when you're looking for tips on marriage. And he wrote these top seven ways to improve your marriage. Let me give you two from the list. He says, learn to repair and exit the argument. Happy couples have learned how to exit an argument and how to repair the situation before an argument gets completely out of control. And one of the things he says is using humor. Do you remember just a couple minutes ago, we talked with a gentleman who uses a lot of humor in their marriage? Humor is a powerful thing. Offering caring remarks. I understand this is hard for you. I know it's difficult for you. Learning to be kind and soft in terms of your communication. If we can learn and apply the repair and exit strategies from arguments in your marriage, you'll be better off. Another one, he says, on his top seven list, is focus on the positive. In happy marriages, while discussing problems, couples make at least five times as many positive statements to and about each other and their relationship as negative ones. Did you get that? Five times as many positive as negative. Think about your communication with your spouse over the last 24 hours. Is it five times as many positive comments as negative comments? Good marriages have a rich climate, Gottman says, of positivity, making regular deposits to emotional bank accounts in marriage. Well, there's so much more, but I hope we gave you some things today that'll be practical for you. You're welcome to share your comments with us, your one thing for your marriage, on our comment line. Just give us a call, 888-888-1717. If you missed any part of today's program, or want to hear it again on demand, just go to theintentionallife.com, or you can go wherever you find your podcasts. We're there, and we hope you'll enjoy the show we put together every day for you. And again, thanks to those of you who are supporting the ministry. Thank you for your prayers and your support. See you next time from Intentional Living.